Welcome to our podcast, Kuehne+Nagel Shipping Insights, Sea Freight News and Supply Chain Solutions. My name is Sarah Vollmer, and I'm pleased to be your host today. Sea Freight has been a part of me for over 18 years, and I currently serve as Vice President, Sea Freight Go-to-Market Strategy for Kuehne+Nagel in New York. The logistics and supply chain industry has been experiencing exciting times, and we have witnessed heightened global awareness of our industry since the onset of the pandemic in 2020. Our podcasts are aimed at not only providing information, but also offering insights for navigating these exciting times from a group of our experts. And today's topic, we're tackling insurance. Ooh, I'm sure all of our listeners are excited about that. Let's see if we can make it exciting. I think we can. But also, can we answer a question? Is it possible for insurance to be green? I'm very curious about this. So I can't wait to have my guests here. Stefan, please, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thank you, Sarah. Yes, my name is Stefan, and Stefan Bergholz. I'm the Group Managing Director for Nakora. Nakora, 100% Kuehne+Nagel Group company. And yes, very excited to be here and talk about Nakora Blue, our latest and award-winning initiative to protect our environment with cargo insurance.
Oh, environment and cargo insurance. Okay, you need to tell me more about this. Let's get in. Nakora Blue. What does it mean here? And what are some of the aspects of the program?
Nakora Blue is something that we've been doing now since 1st of July this year. And we actually brought together all the parties of the ecosystem that are somehow involved in logistics as well as cargo insurance. So this means our parent company, Kuehne+Nagel, its customers, the Nakora as insurance broker, and well as the insurers, Zurich and AXA XL, some of the largest, best rated cargo insurers. So we all came together and said, okay, what can we do with our insurance product to help restore healthy oceans? Because 90% of all cargo still moves via the ocean. That's how we got together and formed the initiative with the Marine Megafauna Foundation.
Okay, all right. So the MMF, can you tell me a little bit more about that? How did that relationship come about?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting story. So I think it was my daughter has a school project, and we watched a video at lunch, and we're looking for manta rays, and we came across the MMF video, and that was so captivating. When I got back to the office, I said, okay, we have to do something about it. We have to talk to these people. They're doing such great work. Can we not somehow integrate supporting their work into our product, into our cargo insurance product, and ultimately also into logistics products that use our cargo insurance solution?
Huh, very interesting. So a video that your daughter was watching kickstarted this entire initiative. But I guess that's sometimes how great ideas, how they come about, right?
Exactly. So, and then the more we looked at what the MMF is doing, particular, you know, the leading scientists they have there, leading marine biologists, Dr. Simon Pierce, Andrea Marshall, the more we said, okay, this is actually something that we wish to support, we want to support. We talked to Kuehne+Nagel, to Kuehne+Nagel's head of sustainability as well. And we've got support from all parties, really, also from the insurance industry. And this is how we built up a product, a cargo insurance product that now donates with every cargo insurance booked with Kuehne+Nagel or Nakora.
Oh, very interesting. So a couple of things. So first off, you mentioned a little earlier here in our conversation, award-winning. So what, it won an award? I didn't even know insurance could win an award. So how does that work?
Well, once a year in Switzerland, there's an innovation award, which shows, looks, and honors insurance solutions that weren't there before. So, and such an embedded solution where we have within the ecosystem an automatism that companies can actually donate with what they do and lead by example, I think was indeed recognized as obviously award-winning, and we're very happy about the award and very proud, and it gives us motivation to move forward and do more.
Well, congratulations on the award. Very well-deserved indeed.
Thank you.
So with that, you know, there's of course many other players here in the global shipping market. You know, is this type of initiative, is this something that's attractive to carriers, as an example, to the steamship lines to get involved in this type of initiative?
Well, I think the entire industry has to do more looking ahead in respect of sustainability and in respect of meeting various targets that not only help to drive down various emissions, but also restore nature, which is a resource that they're ultimately using when moving goods from A to B across the ocean. So from this initiative, we have a lot of other initiatives starting. That, for example, some of the research that the MMF does is tracking and these giant animals. And one of the findings recently published was that container shipping line routes cross the traveling routes of these animals. So, and now we're in talks with various parties from the shipping industry to see whether we can not use those results to somehow prevent or potential collisions that are having an impact on the number of and the development of these giant species. So this is something that is, as a consequence of this initiative, there are other initiatives, I think, that that will hopefully help to achieve the target to protect these oceans.
Okay, so who would have thought that just the simple data of the migration pattern, right, of animals could then impact, or, you know, in a positive way, the ocean shipping industry could actually then use that information to better navigate here through the waters and with less impact to our environment. So,
yes, I mean, that is a simple solution, but also maybe the use of new technologies that helps these animals dive before it can come to an impact. But overall, I think we see more us as a pioneer for companies to copy what we're doing, because like, we are packaging this insurance with the logistics of Kühne+Nagel. So ultimately, the logistics can do something good for the environment when packaged with insurance. Other companies with their own products can do the same. So in the end, the overarching goal is here to really restore ocean, make sure there are huge conservation areas where these species are protected. So in 30, 40, 50 years, we can still enjoy the beauty of marine life.
Okay. Well, great. I think you answered one of my questions as to, can insurance be green? So who would have thought? I certainly didn't. And hopefully our listeners out there also learned a little bit more about the green aspect of insurance. But with that, let's pivot a little bit and let's talk about insurance, and especially maritime insurance as a whole. You know, this is something that comes across, I think, a lot of shippers' minds. They may or may not pay attention to it. Stefan, would you tell me and our listeners a little bit more, like, why is insurance in the maritime industry important? And more importantly, what can happen? What goes on out there on the rough seas of global ocean shipping?
Well, it's there are a lot of perils, I would say, that we have, definitely. But marine insurance is the oldest form of insurance around. So if you think back hundreds of years where we didn't have containers, there were a lot of more handling going on, a lot of more things can happen than today. But still today, as the BBC recently mentioned in one of their documentaries on Planet Blue, 4 containers go overboard every day. So again, 4. So every day. So now those, you know, could have been anyone's cargo that's sitting there in rough sea and high waves, and it's really no one's fault. It's just really a peril attached to the transit. So, and like that, there are other perils attached to transit, storm, lightning, wind, rain, all sorts of things that could potentially affect the cargo. Also during handling, if you have LCL cargo, consolidated cargo, just a carton from A to B, it's handled in many ways and things can happen. So for against all of these perils, cargo insurance is the best answer to protect the customers of Kühne+Nagel financially from the loss, so they can see very fast compensation from the insurance company in the event of a loss or damage to that cargo.
Okay, so in our podcast series, we've had a variety of folks here that have come on here to the show. And we've had a lot of talk, especially since we launched these podcasts, about, let's just call it, the tumultuous sea freight shipping industry. And, you know, everything from unprecedented volume and bottlenecks all over the world. But I think the one thing that really helped to put our industry on the map was when the vessel was stuck in the Suez Canal. People that had cargo on that vessel, right? I mean, we were reading about it in the Wall Street Journal almost daily, along with other global publications. What happened if you had cargo on that vessel?
So Ever Given was indeed a very interesting example, but that was one that's obviously in the minds, but you technically have 4 to 5 incidents, what we call general average. So in general average basically is a situation where both ship and cargo are in danger. And the captain has to take reasonable measures to save ship and cargo from a common peril. So in the end, all those reasonable measures need to be compensated. So the general average is, it gets a bit technical, is normally dealt with in accordance with the York-Antwerp rules, which is an international convention saying exactly what needs to happen. So in simple terms is, the cargo is going to be, whether it had a fire on the ocean or it's stuck in the Suez Canal or somewhere on the ground and is about to break into 2 pieces, but it can be kind of pushed away, put to the next port, and everything is unloaded. So a salvage agent basically takes then and separates the cargo that is lost or damaged and the vessel damage to one side and those cargoes who are safe and sound to the other side. And then the invoicing and the calculation starts going, and those parties who have safe cargo and sound cargo have to sign up to what we call a general average bond. They have to put down a guarantee which could exceed the cargo value in the container. So if not insured with a cargo insurance, the cargo owner has to bring up this bond guarantee or sign up for it and provide it. Otherwise, he cannot collect his cargo, and cargo cannot continue the journey and could incur all sorts of costs. So, and that is kind of a big risk that is not always on cargo owner's mind when thinking about insurance and looking at the maybe relatively low cargo values inside a container that can happen. But we do recommend to find out what is covered on an all risk cover, as we call it, in accordance with the best standards are out there. And definitely recommend cargo insurance for international sea and air transit.
Okay, so let me just recap, you know, in layman's terms here. So basically, if something happens on the vessel, it gets stuck, or it could be one of the 4 containers a day that goes overboard. Something happens, well, I guess those wouldn't be impacted. But if something happens on the vessel, whether it's a fire, it gets stuck, damage, et cetera, no matter if you have damage to your physical cargo or not, if the vessel and the captain decides to go into general average, you will be fiscally impacted in some way, shape, or form.
Correct.
And if you have maritime cargo insurance that covers this, you feel probably maybe a little bit more at peace. If you don't, your regular insurance may or may not cover this.
Well, there is no regular insurance. If you move transport from A to B, you either have cargo insurance hopefully in a coral blue or not, but you have to have this insurance. The insurance will provide the bond. Insurers will take over the costs. If not, indeed, you could be financially impacted by such an incident.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. What is the highest impact, no names, that you have seen here from a GA perspective?
Well, these numbers are normally not published, so I could only guess.
What would you think?
Well, I think it depends really on how big the salvage operation is that is required, how many tugs, how much other cargo is damaged, how much cargo containers do they have to maybe throw overboard, do some jettison here in order to lighten the vessel and bring it back afloat. So indeed, the numbers could be huge. It depends really from incident and incident how it is, whether it's $20,000, $80,000, $120,000. It's something that one has to then assess based on the individual incidents. But it could be definitely exceed the cargo value inside a container. Yeah.
Pretty significant numbers, nonetheless. So something for shippers all around the world to be very mindful of, right? And really understand the whole term general average and what does it mean at the end of the day?
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
Okay. So I love to ask forward-looking questions. And I always tell you to people, you know, what does your crystal ball have to say? So Stefan, what does your crystal ball have to say for the coming year when it comes to maritime insurance or just insurance as a whole as it pertains to the global shipping industry?
Well, I think there's still a lot of potential to really protect customers. Yeah, I think there are a couple of publications made where people assume that a shipping line assume that 30 to 50% of all cargo still travels uninsured.
30 to 50%?
Exactly, as high numbers. So obviously these numbers come forward when there's a general average. When you see how many people don't pick up their cargo or struggle to provide these bonds, then indeed you can make certain assumptions. So I think we as Kühne+Nagel, leading logistics, sea freight forwarder, can really educate our people, provide consultancy about the risks, explain the risks that are beyond the reasonable control of all parties. And this is only what we're talking about here, and how to protect themselves against it. Because indeed, especially general average example is not on everybody's mind or on the radar. And I think this is something to look out for. The other area that we see some really concerning developments is that there are certain limitations coming in on cargo insurance related to cyber, related to kind of pandemic risks that could cause additional risk increases. For example, storage values in certain locations at port increasing. So when these situations come, I think everybody should verify whether the limits that are normally in place under standard policies are really adequate. But these are risks that one would need to respond. One would need to actively talk to insurers, to their insurance partners, whether they really cover certain events related to cyber or pandemic risk.
Okay. Definitely extremely on point and relevant, especially after the last few years we've lived through. So be sure to talk to your insurance partners, right, at the end of the day. So Stefan, I want to thank you for coming onto the show. It's been a pleasure. I feel like we have made insurance industry. I certainly have learned a lot here through our discussion, and I really like to thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you to everyone for tuning in again to our podcast series, Kühne+Nagel's Shipping Insights, Sea Freight News, and Supply Chain Solutions. Be sure to follow us to find out when our next podcast episodes will drop.